Information. It has commercial value. Contractors doing business with the government need to consider how they communicate information so its proprietary status remains intact. Contracting veteran Tim Sullivan has authored the blog 10 Myths of Government Contracting. I've been exploring these myths with him in a series of interviews. Today, Sullivan tackles myth number 7, contractors' business information is safe with the government, and why that's a perilous assumption for contractors to make.
Contractors are sending their intellectual property and their techniques and strategies into the government every day in terms of proposals and letters and emails that they're writing. And if they're not adequately protecting that information, all of it is subject to a request under the Freedom of Information Act.
Even competitive information between two companies that might be bidding?
Well, remember this. People can ask for whatever they want. It's up to the government to decide whether they're going to release it. And what happens is if you find out that what happens, Tom, in the process under the way this is supposed to work, when an agency gets a Freedom of Information Act request asking for a particular company's proprietary data, the agency is supposed to go to that company and say, here's this FOIA request. Tell us if you object to any of this information being released. And then they rely on the company to tell them why it shouldn't be released. If it works in that fashion, everything is fine. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work in that fashion. Sometimes the agencies miss that crucial step. Sometimes the companies don't realize the importance of their weighing in on whether this information should be released. Sometimes the companies discover that they haven't adequately marked their information and that the government people weren't put on notice that it was a problem, and they simply release it. Boy, I can't count the number of ways this important stuff can be leaked out.
Well, this gets to an ethics question for the company that might receive it, because if you are in a competitive situation, should you really be trying to get your competitor's information? I mean, even if you can somehow find a technically legal reason to do so, what would that do to your reputation in the market, for example?
Well, lots of FOIA requesters, Freedom of Information Act requesters, use cutouts, so they'd never be identified. And there's no obligation on the part of the government to tell the target company what the name of the requester is. And so often they don't know, and it isn't always companies' time. It could be reporters. It could be the Russian government. Dear comrade, please furnish us. The statute doesn't restrict who can ask for this stuff, so you just never know. And I have seen situations where companies have obtained information improperly and literally called the agency and said, we've got it, we're not making copies, we're sending it back to you. And boy, that is really impressive when that happens, but I would say it's the exception and not the rule.
Yeah, so if you're a company and you inadvertently get your hands on, say, a competitive bid, and it does happen sometimes,
people
FedEx to the wrong place or paperwork gets displaced and there's still some paper involved in these kinds of things, less than there was years ago, what is good practice for disposing of it or taking care of it?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't dispose of it. The first thing I'd do is I would call the contracting officer involved, let her or him know what you've got, and ask for guidance on what to do. And then you lock the stuff up until you're told. But you don't email it to 50 people within the company and say, I'm going to return this to the Army. You don't do anything to publish or distribute this information. You act, it's the golden rule, you act as if in the way that you hoped your competitors would ask if they obtained your information. And I have seen it plenty of times where a competitor said, we've got it, we're not supposed to have this, please take it back.
And what about your own employees if you're a contractor? Because with everybody tweeting and social mediaizing and all of this stuff, things can get out in ways that didn't exist a number of years ago.
Yeah, it's a sieve, Tom. And remember, the real problem we've got right now is, you mentioned pen and paper a few minutes ago, everything's done electronically, and we're all under the gun, it seems. And so what will happen is someone will get something. They won't really think it through as to what they've got, but they realize it's something pretty cool and might be helpful, and the next thing you know, they're sending it around to different people. You have to – ethics and ethical situations like this are things that The smart companies are talking to their employees about at least annually. They're having monthly or quarterly lunch bag sessions where they talk about situations that have arisen to make sure everyone understands that speed is one thing, but the quality of what we're doing and whether something should be done or not takes a little more time and patience, and don't hit that send button too soon.
All right. We're speaking with Tim Sullivan. He's a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn and author of 10 Myths of Government Contracting, published by the Public Contracting Institute. And there's also the issue of information that might be traded in court proceedings, which are also subject to revealment through other sources other than FOIA.
That is a fascinating question. There are companies out there who employ people who do nothing but literally stalk the PACER system in the federal court system and any other electronic system they can to get their hands on every filing they can.
The PACER system.
The PACER system, P-A-C-E-R. It's an online system, and that's where all federal court filings are published, and you pay for it, but boy, I've been assured by people it's worth its weight in gold. And I know for our own cases that we work on, if something is proprietary information, we file it under seal, and ultimately we have to file what's called a redacted copy for the PACER system, where we black out anything that's proprietary, confidential, etc. But still, I'm assured by the people who do this work on a pretty regular basis that even with the redactions, they can start putting pieces of information together that give them a much bigger picture, and the market intelligence is fantastic.
And there's also the issue of whether the government is good at cybersecurity, and we have lots of stories about foreign powers, mainly, hacking into federal contractors' systems or federal systems and getting a hold of blueprints and drawings. I'm looking at a picture of the Chinese J-31 fighter.
I saw that in the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Yeah, it looks suspiciously like an F-35.
Very similar.
And a lot of people think it was purloined, and they adapted it for whatever they wanted to do. It has two engines instead of one, and so forth. But the profile and the general design are pretty close. What about that whole danger?
Well, that's the latest version of this stuff. It's not just our industrial espionage, if you will, Tom. This is real espionage, and it's very scary stuff. And the hackers, these are smart people. They just don't have any morals. And we're up against that, and that's enemy number one right now.
And, of course, you've got the insider threat, which is another exfiltration pathway for sensitive corporate information. Again, agencies and companies both deal with the problem of people they trust who turn out to not be trustworthy.
Well, right. I mean, we've seen that recently in the last couple of years, and that's a scary thing. All you can do, the only thing you've got is culture. You've got to have a culture in a workplace that is designed to make people satisfied enough, happy enough, that they're not going to do something like this. And that is a tall order in today's government contracting. Are you aware of the concept of hoteling?
Yes, where you don't really have an office.
Right. Can you imagine what kind of loyalty you're instilling in people when they simply show up at a different cubicle every day, they unpack their briefcase, put their pictures out, and don't talk to anybody. They're on their laptop or a PC all day, and at 4:30, 5 o'clock, they're gone, and they'll go to a different place next day. I understand cost-wise why we do that. I understand that, but boy, I don't know if we're developing any camaraderie or work satisfaction with that kind of an approach.